We're good.
All right. Wow. Wow. Well, play it again because I got to be obedient to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift my precious
grace right now.
I don't understand. I don't know what the pain is for. I don't know why the pain. But God, I know you're the healer. That much I do know. And God, it doesn't make a difference. What I did, Lord, God, I pray that you'd heal her, God, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, God. Every bit in between, God, that you'd bring healing, health, and wholeness. Right now today, right here in this place, first time here, God. Touch her, heal her, set her free, God. By your Holy Spirit. God, do it right now, God. Lord, it by your stripes she were healed, and we link our faith with hers, that God, you would do the job, you would do the work, God, in the name of Jesus, that she'd be able to leave this place going, man, today's the best day of the rest of my life, Lord. I thank you, touch me, and I thank you for it, Lord. 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 God, in the name of Jesus. God, we prayed, but we're going to keep praying and keep praying. God, until you do it, until you show up, until you set her free, God, from the top of this head to the soles of her feet, God. Everything, God, made well. Whoa. And Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that she's healed by your stripes, oh God. That's your word. We're just telling you what your word says, God. We're just coming into agreement, Lord, with your word. That's all we're doing. We're coming into agreement with your word that you're healing. Help, God, in Jesus' name. Healing, health, and wholeness.
God's praise.
Healing. Physically, spiritually, emotionally. God, every bit in Jesus' name. God, every bit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Lord.
Now I found. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I see.
I was sick, but now I'm healed. I was in pain, but now I'm healed. I was bound up, but now I'm healed. I was burdened down, but I've been set free. Come on, somebody needs to get a hold of that this morning. Somebody needs to get a hold of this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rabba shatorabukuriyanaba. Glory, 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 glory. God, we love you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Precious Lord. Precious Lord. Precious Lord. Come on, church. Don't give up on Him now. Don't give up on Him now. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Here we are, Vashia. You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Glora babashata rida la bogura bogura bashata eteri andoro bogura babashata lori andoro bogura. Hear our prayers, Lord. Hear our cries, O God. Hallelujah. Hear our praise and our worship and our thanksgiving, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're worthy of all glory and all honor and all praise. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. God, we got time to wait on you. We've got time to wait on the Lord. We've got time to minister to your people. Yes, ma'am. Come on. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on now. Glory. Glory. We are overcomers by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, you can. Come on. Hear it. Amen. Woo! Yeah. Well, who said it? Well, glory.
Yeah, I'm John, for everybody who doesn't know. And
turn around, John.
I was riding my bicycle in San Francisco, and you know, I hit a patch, and I went flying over the handlebars. I landed safely without getting scratched. You know, that's when I know God exists. You know, and a lot more miracles that He showed me in my life. Lord, I know He's there. I know He loves us all. Anything's possible.
Yes.
Anything's possible.
Yes.
Lord, you know, you just got to believe that it's possible. It can happen. I've seen it.
Yes.
You know, that's why I have faith in when I didn't. You know, when I was at my lowest, He was there.
Come on now.
Give me strength every day, you know, to take care of Diana and to do the things I need to do, you know.
Thank you, Lord.
Make Him stronger in my life.
Thank you, Lord.
Let go all the stuff that I don't need.
Jesus.
What I want, you know, what I need are two different things. You Give us all strength and make it through these days.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Woo, son. I'll hold it because you'll just be waving it around.
In 2013, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And I had surgery, and immediately my PSA level was zero, below zero. And for the remainder of those years, since up until about 2 months ago, my PSA level stayed down. And my latest doctor report was it had gone back up. So I went to a doctor. They did a series of tests. I don't really understand how you can still have a PSA level and not have cancer, but I did not have cancer.
That's right. Amen.
And I know for a fact he healed me the first time.
Thank you, Lord.
And the doctor was amazed. After the surgery, he was amazed. He couldn't figure out why they weren't going to have to give me a bunch of radiation, which I probably wouldn't have taken. I wouldn't have taken it this time. But anyway, as much as I need to pray more, as much as I need to know that God is on my side, sometimes I'm really stubborn. And I don't get it right.
Thank you, Jesus.
But God, in His eternal grace of
Jesus,
keeps me safe.
Man.
Woo! Yes, amen. Hang on a minute. Hey, what? Settle down.
I just want to say that before I was saved, I was in a crazy life, doing crazy things, contracted HIV. I was in denial. In 1993 is when I got the full-blown AIDS diagnosis. And in 2000, I was in the hospital fighting with 5 opportunistic infections. I was not supposed to be here. But I asked God, why did you spare me? Because I knew I was not the best person in the world. And the answer that I got was because He was not done with me yet. I've been undetectable now for 20 years. Been positive for 30 plus. But I just know I came to the Lord and I got saved. And I've just been believing and trusting in Him for the rest of my days that everything I go through, He goes through it with me. And I'm so grateful to be here today. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Because there was 3 churches prayer chain of praying for my daughter that was in a coma. And Betty Coma, the doctor said, I have never seen anyone that brain dead come back. He didn't think she would ever recover. But it was a long struggle, but she did. And I wish I could say that she was in God's hands, but she turned her back on Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Rosanna? Well, she's still in God's hands. Yeah. So we're going to put her... Father, right now we lift Rosanna to You. God, we just say sick 'em.
Amen.
Sick 'em, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sick her. Arrest her by Your Spirit, Lord. God, help her to know and to understand that every breath she takes, every time her eyes blink, every step she takes is because You ordained it and because You spared her from death.
Amen.
And You did it for a reason. God, help her to realize that. Let this mama see the fruits of her prayers. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name.
Thank You, Lord.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord.
Amen. Thank You, Lord. Woo-wee.
I think we're having church.
Well.
We're having church anyway.
So maybe talking about prayer does work. Yes, ma'am. Oh, sure.
Love you.
Oh, good.
And let me tell you, she had four types of cancer. The doctors were sitting there shaking their heads, and they said, "We don't even know why she's here." And I said, "I do. God wasn't finished."
Right.
Right. 9.5 years, she battled this, and 6 months to live. And more, I mean, she was delivered, and then she would go right back into the they're struggling.
Right.
And I have those myself, these grandkids. But God is faithful, and He will accomplish that which concerns us.
Amen.
And the other word the Lord gave me this week, He will give you double for your trouble.
Amen. I don't care. I do not care. I would rather have him minister all day than me anytime. And
he's not through with us.
Amen.
We're here because he's just not through with us yet. We're not. We got stuff to do.
True. It's true. It's true. Even you older people. Because you're older. You're older than me. That makes you fair game. Listen, I'll tell you what. We could say amen and just leave right now and feel completely, you know, like we have been in the presence, we in fact have been in the presence of the Lord. Listen, let me just say this morning that we, you know, as a church leadership and team, you know, we come together. We found out yesterday that Billy's going to be out of town and she's not going to be here to lead worship. And I called John, and John said, "No, I'm not even going to be there either." And so I called on Bob. Not that Bob's third string by any stretch. Bob and Tammy. They're just like, "Hey, put us in, coach." And we, even this morning, we've worried and stressed and fretted about this worship service.
Sometimes it takes a Sunday morning.
Sometimes it just takes a Sunday morning. Sometimes it just takes some people saying, you know what? We're just going to worship regardless. And I promise you today, God has showed up in this place.
Amen.
And listen, I'm believing for testimonies to come forth of what God has done in this house this morning. Amen? Listen, you are not here by accident. You are not here by accident. When you get those twinges of pain, when you're reminded that you're, I don't know how to say this nicely, that maybe you're broken. Amen? That maybe there's something broken. We need to remind the enemy, listen, I'm not broken. And this pain is simply a symptom of what you're trying to put on me. But according to Jesus and according to God's Word, I'm healed, I'm whole, and I'm set free.
Amen.
And that needs to be the testimony on our lips.
Amen.
And we've heard enough testimonies today of what God has done in the lives of others. We need to claim those today and walk in our healing. It is our God-given healing. He has given it to us. He has blessed us today.
Amen.
Listen, you that have loved ones that are lost and running amok, you need to start seeing them coming back to Jesus.
Amen.
You need to begin to speak those things according to God's Word that be not as though they were. My child's not in the hands of God. My child is definitely in the hands of God. Yes, amen. My child is. She might be running and fighting, but I've put her in God's hands.
Amen.
That's right. He's the author and finisher of our faith.
And He does not need an editor.
That's right. He knows every day of your life.
He's the author and the finisher of our faith, but we want to be the editor.
No, that don't work.
We'll take this out, put this in. No, that ain't the way it works.
About 4 or 5 years ago, yeah, heart attack and a stroke. I bucked up behind my eye, up in my brain. Legs, both feet, and I had injury. And they like fighting out of Roseburg. And I'm in a new stroke, a chronic kidney failure going on. It says I lose both feet. Somebody had a hold of my birth certificate and stuck up the bike the whole time I was up there. And the nurses saw me walking down the road. Somebody called when I was wrong and said he's not coming home. They figured out he did. The nurses saw me in rehab going down the walkway. They started falling. So the Lord's in me for a reason. And here I am.
Amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about.
If Satan starts reminding you of your past, remind him of his future.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, all righty then.
Well, as everybody knows, I was baptized in here. Since I've been baptized, I've been with the Lord. I used to go in and out. I had dreams of Satan attacking me. And I always used to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And since I was baptized, I had a dream this week, and I was talking to somebody that I knew, and he was real friendly, and we were in a store, and he started to rob it, and he was still really friendly to me, and I grabbed my purse and my phone, and I couldn't find my keys anywhere. And so I walked home. And by the time I got home, I closed my door, and I could hear it rattling. He had the keys. And all of a sudden, the corner of the door started folding in. And he couldn't look at me, and he had a robotic face. No expression. He threw the keys through that hole, and I woke up in fear. And I asked God, what was this dream for? And he said, Satan has no authority over your life.
Amen. Woo! I could just see him having to throw those. Listen, Jesus took the keys to death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
And I could just see the enemy having to come back and throw the keys at you. Just amen. I think that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Oh my goodness. Well, glory. Ushers, come on. Come on. Let's receive this morning God's tithe and your offering. Amen. Lord, you are the absolute best need-meeting God that we have ever, anybody has ever encountered. Lord, and you have blessed us this morning. There's no way, there's not enough money to purchase what we've experienced here today because of what you've just given us, Lord. And that's not what this is about, Lord. You said to bring you the tithe into the storehouse. You said to pay, to give offerings and alms and those kinds of things, Lord, above the tithe, Lord. And Father, I thank you that this is a giving body, that this body of believers are beginning to grasp the idea and the realization that we cannot outgive you, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. But Lord, we've learned that we can't outgive you. You just keep giving unto us. We just keep giving unto you. Lord, I thank you for this offering today, for the tithe, and for the offerings above the tithe, God, that come forth. Lord, that it's going to be used, Lord, to further this gospel, to further the kingdom, that other people, that the enemy is going to have to come and peel the corner of the door down and throw the keys back into us, Lord, that the enemy has no more authority in our lives and in different ones' lives that are bound up right now, that you're going to set free because of this church. God, I thank you for it. I thank you. I pray you bring the increase. Bless the gift and the giver, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And if you go to our website at harvestca.org, you will see on there a giving button over on the upper right-hand corner of our bar there, of the information bar. There is a give button. And if you just click on that, it'll pop up another screen. And on the left-hand side, it says online. Little button over, it says envelope. And that's for when you get back to church, you can give the old-fashioned way if you'd like. And give in an envelope. And then over on the other side, there's another button. It's called Tithely, and that's actually an app on your phone. And you can click on that and walk through that process and be able to just give right there from your phone at any time. And for online giving, you just click on the little green button there, and it will walk you through the process of being able to give online. It's a very secure site. Everything about it is secure. You don't have to worry about your identity being stole or any of those kinds of things. So that's up there for you to be able to give. Woo! Amen, amen, amen. Isn't God good? Sometimes, Sometimes we just need a Sunday morning. Amen. Can I tell you that this started on Wednesday? This started on Wednesday. And I'm not taking any credit for it. I'm just the mouthpiece. I'm not taking any credit. But listen, I want to encourage you to come on Wednesday night. We have just started a new section in the foundational teaching of God's Word. I think that foundation, listen, if we don't have a foundation, we're never going to have a building. Amen? We've got to lay a foundation. And those of you that don't come on Wednesday night because maybe you think you already have a foundation, you don't. I mean, you do. Don't get me wrong. You do. But you can always reinforce the foundation. You can always strengthen the foundation. By the way, I think the worship team, I think you guys are done. Bless you a bunch. Thank you. Good job. Good job. Children's church, you are dismissed. Huh? I don't know. Till I'm done. She asked, how long are you going to be? Well, you'll have to talk to the Lord about that. Anyway, Wednesday night, man, I want to encourage every one of you to be here on Wednesday night. And just let God's Word minister to you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus. I want to talk to you this morning. My message title is pretty simple. This church. This church. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about this building church, I'm talking about this church that God is developing. Lord, this morning I desperately need your anointing. I desperately need your touch, Father God. I need you to speak through me, Lord, this vessel of clay. Lord, I'm asking today that you would take a coal from the altar, Lord, and touch these lips of clay and purify me, O God. Lord, this ember that's burning inside of me, God, that you'd begin by your Holy Spirit to blow on the ember, that it would turn, God, literally into a flame of fire. Lord, that your word would go forth and that, Lord, that you would somehow burn all the chaff away. And Lord, let the purity of your word and the purity of the refining process be manifest in our lives, Lord, in my life and in the lives of each one of us in this place. And God, I thank you for it. God, I pray for those today that are watching by way of the internet. Lord, that you would just, that your Holy Spirit would just go through the internet, the camera, whatever, and just invade those places where your people are watching today. God, that they would sense right there in their own home, God, what we have experienced here in this place today. God, I thank you for it. I need your touch. Lord, I need your anointing. Lord, your body needs your anointing today. Help us to leave this place changed from how we came in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. I kind of had a realization, a moment of reality, if I can say that, this past week, because, you know, I try and keep my life in front of you a lot, because it helps me and it helps you and it helps those that are watching today to know that this pastor, this teacher, whatever you want to call me, wow, there is that. I fight the same battles that so many of the rest of you fight. And you know what I experienced this week, because I was praying, I was talking to God, because you know, you ever get sick and tired of being sick and tired? You ever get tired of fighting the same battle over and over, and it's like, Lord God, well, I'm so tired of fighting this thing. And he said, well, what you need to find is the origin. You need to find the origin. Where does it all start? Where does it begin? And I said, well, for me, it begins right here. And you know what I'm pretty sure of? For 99.99% of the rest of you, it all starts right here. It always begins with a thought. And that thought leads to another thought. And that thought leads to another thought. And the next thing you know, we're full on thinking, entertaining, rehearse. How many of you rehearse your stuff? I mean, we just go over and know, oh, Lord. God wants to set us free. This morning, I want to take a few moments here to remind each of us of not only our mission, but our co-mission. Working? It's working? Coming through? How many of you know we have a mission? How many of you know it's a co-mission? It's a commission. With Almighty God, we've been commissioned to go into all the world. This church, we each one have a mission and a commission. So what's the difference between a mission and a commission? Well, I'm really glad you asked. I want to tell you what Webster says. A mission is an instance or an act of sending, an assignment or a task to be carried out. He made it pretty clear in Matthew chapter 28, right? In the last few verses, he said what? Go ye. So we have to define who's ye. Ye be ye. That's good King James vernacular. Ye be ye. Go ye where? Into all the world. And do what? Preach the gospel. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. Making disciples. What's a disciple? We have to figure this stuff out this morning before we can ever do our part of the commission. A disciple is someone that has been discipled in, excuse me, before I choke to death. In God's Word, somebody that has been discipled in God's Word, somebody that you have taken some time and you've spent one-on-one time and you just impart and you just give wisdom back and forth into somebody and to the point where that person can go over to that person and take what they've received and put it into that person. And then that person goes to another one and you go to another one and now we've got four. And when those get discipled, they go out and they make other disciples, and now we're up to about 8 if math is doing me okay this morning. And then it goes to 16 and to 32 and like 60. Am I on track? Lord Jesus, South Umpqua High School's coming through this morning. Hallelujah. Do you see the principle? That's part of the deal. What's the task? The assignment? Or the task to be carried out in our mission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not everybody's going to be happy about the gospel. As Christians, you and I have a mandate from the Lord Himself that is, go ye into the world and spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So not only is that the mission, but it is also the commission, which is, according to Webster, it is the act of entrusting to another. Think about this. It is the act of trust in entrusting to another, or the command or the authorization to act as specified. Listen, who gave the commandment? Jesus. Who did He give it to? He gave it to us. So He has enabled us to take what He has given us out into the world. How many of you understand this morning that God's Word calls you and I ambassadors? You are an ambassador of the kingdom of God. What's important, what's special about being an ambassador? And an ambassador is somebody that goes from a place to a place with the complete backing of the place that sent them. If we have ambassadors all around the world and they have the complete backing of our government, our Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, they have the entire backing of that, of this government. Listen, you're an ambassador of the kingdom of God. What do you think that's like? You've got the complete backing of the Holy Ghost of God. You've got the backing of the triune Godhead behind you. And when you go out into this world and you begin to declare the truth of the gospel and the enemy raises up against you, you've got the backing of the Trinity behind you to equip you and to encourage you and to empower you to take the forces of darkness and throw them aside. But you and I have got to realize who we are. Ron said it pretty clearly here this morning that he, even though we're messed up, he still uses us. Oftentimes on around Christmas, I'll date myself here just a little bit, but I like to preach a message about misfits. We're kind of like a bunch of misfits around here, eh? How many of you ever watched the old Rudolph? I mean, the old one with Burl Ives. The island of the misfit toys. Nobody wanted them. Some of you, nobody wanted. Some of us, just kind of been kicked to the curb. But along came Jesus. And He lifted us up out of the miry clay. Set my feet on the solid rock to stay. Amen? That's who we are. So not only is that the mission, but it's the commission. Let me say it again. It is the act of entrusting to another or the command or authorization to act as specified. You and I have been entrusted with this gospel and the life that it leads to. And we have the command and the authorization to act as specified. The enemy's going to come to you and he's going to say, just exactly who do you think you are to tell anybody about Jesus? Well, I'll tell you who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God and I've been endued with power from on high and I've got authority from Jesus to say these things. Excuse me while I rearrange stuff. So how are you supposed to act? I'll tell you how. You need to let your life tell the story of the love that was shed upon us by the love of Christ. That's how you need to act. The Bible says that we are to be living epistles known and read of men. What are they reading about you? The fact is, He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son so that you and I might have eternal life. We are entrusted with this message to get it out to the world, to people that are lost and dying. We need to get this message to that young man standing up there in the midst of the riots and the chaos, holding up a sign that says, if Jesus comes back, we'll kill him again. He needs to know about Jesus or he's going to a place where he'll never experience peace. Ever. Ever. There's a lot of bad stuff going to go on in hell. Whether you believe hell or not doesn't matter. It's still there. And I can just tell you that it isn't going to be a good place to be. Burning. The smell of sulfur burning. The smell of decaying flesh. Bugs eating you. Constantly, but you're never consumed. That doesn't, I mean, you're burned with fire, but you're never burnt up. You're tormented day and night. There's the gnashing of teeth and all this wailing and all this kind of stuff. That, does that sound bad? That does not even compare, church, to the realization of the fact that it's going to be a place completely void of the presence of God. Now that's hell. That is hell. But He gave us His Son. He's entrusted us with the message. He sent us into a world that is full of people that are lost and they're dying. You and I hold the keys to their future. We will, in fact, whether you want to hear this morning or not, you and I will be held accountable if we do not do our part in sharing God's good news. We're going to be held accountable. I want for us to look this morning at Peter. If you remember, he's the one that was that Jesus told and said and spoke into his life. The Lord said that this church was going to be built on Peter. I want you to turn with me this morning to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verses 13 through 19. I'm gonna start reading in verse 13, but my main focus this morning is gonna be on verses 18 and 19. It's not that the first bunch of verses don't mean anything and that they aren't important, but the gist of what I want for us to look at is in the last two, and this is what it says. These first verses set the stage. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But He said, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Isn't that amazing? Let me tell you about where this took place. Tammy and I had the fantastic opportunity to go to Israel. We was over there for like 9 days. Took all the tours and those kinds of things, and it was just fantastic. Went to a lot of the places. Well, we went to, all over that whole region, the important, the historic kind of places, and on the north end of the Sea of Galilee, where so much of Jesus' earthly ministry took place around the Sea of Galilee, and on the north end of the Sea of Galilee, and just a little bit to the east, there's a natural, we'd call it a swale. But kind of like a little bit of an amphitheater, kind of just the way the ground is shaped. And of course, remember that Peter and them guys, they didn't have microphones and the technologies that we have. But it was a natural place with the backdrop of the Sea of Galilee there behind him, and it was where the 5,000 were fed and those kinds of things. There's a church built on a rock, and they believe that's exactly where the Lord was talking to Peter and commissioned Peter, that on this rock, and He was physically pointing at a rock as an illustration. On this rock, and Peter is Petro, which is a rock, right? And from there, if you went a little further east, This is why I want to tie this all together. A little further to the east, up on the hill where there was a bunch of temples and whatnot that were erected, and they were pagan temples. And there was horrible bad things going on there. And there's a place there that they had this great big huge temple erected there. And it's where they did a lot of pagan sacrifices. And they sacrificed babies and they sacrificed virgins and all this. And in the very back of this big temple that was built there, there's a hole. And I mean, it's dark. And it's deep. You can't see the bottom of it. It's horrible. And it's referred to as the gates of Hades. That's what it's called, the gates of Hades. And I can just picture that day when this event was taking place. And Jesus and said, blessed are you, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this. And I say to you, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. And I can just see in my mind's eye the Lord pointing and saying, and the gates of hell, where all that wickedness is going on, where all that destruction is taking, those gates of hell, of Hades, are not going to prevail against this church. It's an amazing thing. When somebody comes up to you and asks you about who Jesus is, what are you going to tell them? What's going to be your reply? Is it going to be, oh, well, he's the one that's helping us build this building? Are you going to maybe say, well, he's my redeemer, or he's my Lord, he's my everything, he's my king? Or maybe you're just going to narrow it down and say, well, he's my Savior. Or maybe you'll be like Peter and say, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen, if we can get the understanding that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, all the rest of that stuff will just happen. Amen? It'll just happen. The name that Peter had been, the name Peter had already been given to Simon when he first met, when Jesus first met him. And here he gives him a new name, a name with a new meaning, and he said, you are Peter, which is Petros, and on this rock, Petra, which is a big rock, I will build my church. The rock here refers to Peter as the leader and the spokesman, kind of the foundational stone of the rest of the disciples. You know, who's the one that's always running off at the mouth? It's Peter, every time. He's the spokesman. He didn't get appointed that. He just was. He just was. I never asked to be the pastor. When we started our church in St. George, Utah, I did not say, hey guys! It just happened. I just became the pastor. I just was the pastor, and I have just been pastor ever since. It's a crazy thing. If you know my life, you know that's crazy. You are Peter. Rock refers to Peter as the leader. Just as Peter had revealed the true identity of Christ, so Christ revealed the identity of Peter and his role. And in these words of Scripture, Christ promises to build His church on the truth of Peter's and the other disciples' confession that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of the living God. Listen, I got to ask you this. Why do you think we've had the service that we've had this morning? Is it just by coincidence? No. No, God doesn't just, things don't just happen in His kingdom. You know what you've received here this morning? You've received ammunition. You've received tools. You've received weaponry. You've received whatever, however you want to refer it. Well, who's Jesus? Well, I'll tell you what. Not only is He the Son of the living God, but He's my Savior. And let me just tell you what He did this morning in our church. Let me tell you what He did from, you know, next Thursday. Let me just tell you what He did last Sunday in our church. Completely unscripted. He just showed up and started, we're praying for people, amazing thing, testimonies of the, do you understand what I'm saying here? In these words of Scripture, He promises to build his church on the truth of their confession that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. And with that comes these other things. Because of who he is. And you receive them because of whose you are. Did you hear what I said? Whose you are. Jesus uses here kind of a bit of a play on words, and he calls his disciple Peter, or Petros, which means a small stone. But he goes on to say, upon this rock, or Petra, which means a massive rock, or a rocky cliff, I will build my church. So what this means is that he's going to build his church on the strong foundation of the testimony of Peter's confession. He's going to build this church in Myrtle Creek, Oregon, on the foundation of your testimony. Amen? It's going to take every one of us. It's going to take every one of us. We have to realize that it is Jesus who is the real rock or Petra, and that he is the first and the great foundation stone of the church. He's the cornerstone. I'm not much of a builder or carpenter, but Tommy is, and Bob and some of the rest of you, you know, Glenn, that have built things. There's a place where everything starts, and they called it a cornerstone in those days. And where that cornerstone was put, it was level, it was square, it was true, and everything built from that cornerstone out. Our church has to be built on the cornerstone of the foundation of Jesus Christ. We start with Christ and build the body from there. We build the church from there. How? On the foundation of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter, speaking of Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, this is what he said, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, living stones, being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he's precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Isn't that awesome? Listen, Peter's saying here that Jesus is the living stone, a chief cornerstone, and the stone that the builders rejected. So at the same time, Peter and all the other Christians are living stones. They become part of the structure of the spiritual house which God is building. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about you. He's talking about me. We're just a part of this building that God's building. We're going to build a building out there, but it ain't going to be the church. We call it the church, but it ain't the church. We ought to just put a big sign on the front of it that says, the building. The building. And if you want to go to church, you better go to the place where the church is, which is going to be the building. We might have just started something. True. It's absolutely true. We're a living stone. You become part. You know what happens if you're not part of this, of the building? That part of that foundation is missing. That part of the structure of the building is missing. It's weakened there. And it can crumble. It might not just fall, but let me tell you what it is. It's a weak spot And it's where the spiritual termites can get in there. It's where the spiritual little diggers can get in there. It's where the enemy can begin to chink and chisel. But thank God. Thank God we've been redeemed. We've been assured of who we are in Him. We're in our place in the foundation. It's you and I. We are the stones. We are part of the foundation of the church that the Lord is raising up here in Myrtle Creek, Oregon. You need to understand that. You're not here by accident. It really doesn't have much to do with the new building. It has everything to do with who He is and who we are as His children to do in light of Him that is giving us a new facility. If we're just going to have church, this would be okay. But it's we're not going to just do church. We're going to do all kinds of things. I'm believing God for a full-blown youth group. I'm believing God for Sunday school classes before church on Sunday mornings. I want to get back to the old school. I want to get back to Sunday night church service. Listen, I've seen some good stuff happen on a Sunday night prayer church. I want to be a happening place for the glory of God. Amen? You be praying with me because that's the direction that I want for us to go. If we are the foundation or even a very small part of it, as we get direction from the Lord, then we will build on the foundation of the Lord, and this church will grow and be constructed on the blueprints of glory. Just like this service. I had this service all figured out this morning. I had it all figured out. This is how it's going to go. Yeah. How'd that work, preacher? Well, it worked pretty good. I just stayed out of the way. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. And I'm hurrying. I really am, but not much. It says this, "Now therefore..." Why do we have the word "therefore"? You ever ask that question? It's therefore a reason. It's therefore to bring a realization, a reality to the attention. That's why it says now. Therefore, pay attention. Listen up. You are no longer strangers and foreigners. Today might be your first time in this place. It might be your second. It might be your 100th time. Listen, you walked in this place. You're no longer a stranger. You're no longer a foreigner. You are a fellow citizen with the saints and the members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together as a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Let that sink in. Are you starting to get an understanding and a picture in your mind of who you are? This word here, church, the word church is ecclesia. And it's found in the Gospels only in Matthew. But the concept is found throughout all four of the Gospels. And Jesus' words reveal that there would be a definite interim period between His death and the second coming. And it is called, referred to as the church age. You and I are living in the church age. We're living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. There have been three dispensations. The dispensation of God was the Old Testament. The dispensation of the Son was the 33 and a half years when Jesus dwelled here. It was the dispensation of the Son. We are now living in the dispensational period of the Holy Ghost, when the Father and the Son are in heaven and we have the Holy Ghost. We are living in the church age. Church means the called out people of God. You are a called out people. You are a called out people. Peter's individual authority becomes clear throughout the book of Acts as he became the spokesperson, the spokesman for the disciples and for the Christian community. Peter, as the spokesman, he became the foundation stone of all the believers who would build Christ's church. And so later on, Peter reminds the Christians that they were the church built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Jesus as the cornerstone. You following me? You seeing how this is all tied together? Jesus doesn't change. He's always the cornerstone. And then the foundational things begins to be built by the apostles and the prophets and the disciples. They become the foundation. You and I are part of the foundation of this church. Peter, as the spokesman, became the foundation stone. Later he reminds them that they are the church built on that foundation. And all believers are joined into this church by faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, the same faith that Peter expresses here. Amen? So believers like Peter regard their faith as a revelation from God and are willing to confess Him publicly. Jesus praises Peter for his confession of faith, and faith like Peter's is the foundation of the kingdom of God. So the last part of verse 18 says, "And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." That the gates of Hades not only is a literal place, but it also is a representation of Satan and his minions. Listen, the devil wants to stop you. The devil wants to derail you. The devil wants to discourage you. Man, I loved what Cindy said. That the devil had to come peel the corner of her door down and throw the keys in there. He couldn't even come in. He had to just throw it. Listen, I tell you what, I'm going to go home and just go to sleep. Just hope I get that same dream. It's a good excuse for a nap, ain't it, Mike? Listen, man, I'll tell you what, there would not be a greater day than the day to know that the devil had to throw back the keys. That I'm set free completely. Remember where it starts? Right here. Right here. You ever just seen somebody standing over there talking, they're just whispering, every once in a while they look at you and you're like, oh my God, they're talking about me, Lord Jesus. Anybody besides us three? What are they saying? I don't know. And the devil's like, oh yeah, you're horrible. They don't like you. They think you're ugly. You're stupid. You got no position. Why are you even going there? That's what he says. That's what he said to some of you this morning on the way to church. Where in the world do you think you're going? Well, I'm going to church. Really? I mean, come on. Church? It's just a bunch of hype. No. No, it's not. It's the reality. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep me against that day. Amen? Listen, I'm trying to help you this morning. I don't know where I'm at, but I'm trying to help you. We can interpret these words in light of other passages on the power of the enemy as the enemy's domain in the offense against the church. But Christ promises that Satan will not defeat the church. Instead, his sphere of operation, which is death, is going to be defeated. Remember when Jesus died on the cross and they took him down and they put him in the ground, they buried him, they put him in the tomb, and what? He wasn't just in there napping. Ha! He went down and made a public spectacle of the devil. He took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave. I mean, Jesus gives the promise of the indestructibility of the church and protection for all of us who believe in Him and become a part of this church. And He says, and I will give you, who's you? Us, the keys of the kingdom. You better take your keys and you better stick it in the lock and you better turn the key and unlock some of the provisions that God's got for you. It's going to take an act of faith. This morning, I've stuck the key of healing into the lock and I turned the key and I have unlocked the healing power of heaven to come and flood my body. And I'm going to walk in the healing that God has delivered unto me this day. The promise of the keys of the kingdom. I read a bunch of different views on what this phrase means. And this is the best that I can come up with, is that the keys are the kingdom authority that have been given to the church, including the opportunity to bring people to the kingdom of heaven by presenting them with the message of salvation that is found in God's Word. Peter had been told about the foundation of a building that Christ would build and then was given the keys to that building. So the keys don't necessarily suggest that he was a doorman that was controlling who it is that would enter the building, but rather they portray a steward who would administer the building. Think about that. Having the keys of the kingdom is not that God has given us a handful of keys that say, well, you know, you can come in. I mean, we make jokes about Peter at the pearly gates letting people in all the time. It ain't no joke. It ain't no joke. That ain't the way it works. Your door's open the day you ask Christ into your heart. Peter might be up there at the gate, but it ain't to say whether or not you're coming in or not. Peter was given the privilege of opening the door of faith to the Jews at Pentecost, according to Acts chapter 2. Peter was given the privilege of opening the door of faith to the Samaritans, according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Peter was given the privilege of opening the door of faith to you and I, the Gentile bunch, in Acts chapter 10. We ought to be happy, church. The other apostles shared in this same authority according to Matthew 18 and 18. And Paul had the privilege of opening the door of faith to the Gentiles that were outside of Palestine according to Acts chapter 14 and verse 27. I want to read Matthew 16:19 out of the Amplified Version of the Bible. It says this. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose or declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. Now, there's a lot of teaching that says that this binding and loosing is, I bind this and heaven's going to agree with me that I've bound that. It's already either been bound in heaven or you're not going to get much done. It's either already going to be loosed in heaven or you're not going to get much done. See, Jesus did not say that God would obey what they did on earth, but that they should do on earth what God has already willed in heaven. Let me say that again. Jesus didn't say that God would obey what they did on earth, but that they should do on earth whatever God's already willed in heaven. The church doesn't get a man's will. The church does not get man's will done in heaven. It obeys God's will here on earth. Amen? Listen, you and I are the church. You and I are living epistles known and read of men. You and I have a story to tell. You and I are ambassadors for the kingdom. You and I are part of this structure, part of this building. Let me close with this question. Who are you inviting into the family? Who are you inviting personally into the family? Amen? Let me take it a step further. Who are you calling to encourage to be in church that is not in church today? We have a church directory that is full of phone numbers. It's not just because we have people that don't have stuff to do. We put together a directory so you can look around, because most of us sit in the same place every Sunday. And you can know by simply looking around who's here and who's not. And you can take a phone call. Hey, missed you in church today. Let me just tell you what happened. Not for condemnation, but to build them up. Paint the picture that, man, you blew it. Lovingly. Right? You can't believe what God did this morning. Man, I wish you'd have been here. I'm telling you, God was in the place and people were just getting prayed for and the God was there and it was great. Oh man, I wish you'd have been. Don't miss this Wednesday. You thought I was going to say Sunday. Don't miss Wednesday because, man, there's been some great things happening on Wednesday. And Sunday, if you have to whip wildcats with a willow switch, man, don't miss Sunday. And while you're at it, pray that God shows up next Sunday greater than He did this Sunday. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Oh, Lord, we love You today, Lord. We're grateful. God, we are grateful for what You've done in people's lives. We're grateful, Lord, for the message in tongues and interpretation this morning. We're grateful, God, that You're beginning to rise up in this building, in this place, again today. God, You're visiting Your people. God, we're grateful today that You're touching people, that people are being anointed with oil, prayed for, praying the prayer of faith, hands are being laid on. We're grateful today, God, that You took it the time to come and be with us today and to just meet us and minister to Your people. We're grateful, oh God, for the reports that are going to be coming of what You've done. Lord, I'm grateful for the lives that You have touched this morning by way of the internet. God, I pray that You would bless them, Lord. Oh, we love You, Jesus. I'm grateful, Lord, today for the opportunity to stand in this pulpit behind this sacred desk and offer the most precious gift ever been known to man, and that is the free gift of salvation. And if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today is your day. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day for you to come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Today is the day that God looked down through the corridors of time. And if you're here and you don't know Him, this is the day that He has ordained. The Bible says, choose you this day in Joshua chapter 24. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And He wants you in His house. He wants you to be a part of His family. If that's you today and you say, preacher, that's me, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Anywhere in this building, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Say, yeah, preacher, that's me. I need to accept Jesus today as my Lord and Savior. Anybody at all say, preacher, that's me. Maybe you accepted Him at some point in your life, somewhere down the road, and the enemy came and derailed you in a sense, and you find yourself off the tracks, laying in the dirt, being abused, being beaten up by the enemy, and today you've managed to find your way into church, and today you're like, I want to get back into a lasting relationship with Jesus. If that's you today and you've been away from the Lord, but today you're saying, I want to come back. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody in this place? Say, preacher, that's me. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I'm coming back. I'm coming back with a heart of worship. Anybody at all? Say, preacher, that's me. Father God, this morning, we're grateful for Your touch. God, we lift up the Abel family today. Where hearts are broken, God, we pray that You would heal them. Lord, that You would bring healing, wholeness. God, I thank You. I thank You for them. I pray You meet every need. Lord, I pray You meet every need in this body today. I pray for testimonies to come of really what You've done in this place today. God, we're grateful for the testimonies that we've heard. We rejoice with our brothers and our sisters of how You've ministered to our lives. God, I pray for Wednesday that You'd show up here again, God. I pray for every person in this place, God, that You'd be with them all week. Help us to understand that our problems generally start with our thoughts. Help us, Lord, to take captive every thought. Every thought, like Your Word says, that would set itself against the authority of God and His Word. Help us to follow hard after You, I pray in Jesus' name. God bless Your people. Bless each one watching today by way of the internet. We'll see you back here on Wednesday. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your week. Amen. God bless you.